Okay, hello everybody. So, does anyone want to come closer to me? Because I've got this whole table empty in front of me, and I feel lonely at the front. Well, it's really great to have you all here today. It's on our first Sunday back of the new year. And as Tom was saying at the beginning, you know, it's always exciting at the beginning of the new year because it's a fresh start. Was anyone excited about entering 2012? Yep. I know for some of us, maybe weren't, you know, maybe thinking, oh, was it going to be another year like last year? If maybe last year wasn't such a good year for us, maybe we've got fears as we enter 2012. But for some of us, maybe we have got that fresh hope of good things are going to happen. And today I want to talk to you about hope. Hope is possibly one of the most important things in the human life. For us. Does anyone agree with me? You know, hope is so important. Without hope, our lives can sometimes, we can despair of situations that we're in. And, you know, we can feel very depressed and desperate. And so, you know, the message of Jesus is the message of hope. You know, when you think about the world we live in, it's a beautiful place, but there are forces at work of evil that come in, which can actually make it at times a not very nice place to be. And in the midst of that situation of sometimes difficult things that happen in our world, Jesus comes into that and brings a message of hope that actually some of this bad stuff that's going on, all of it, with Jesus, there is hope for change. There is hope for restoration. There's hope that it doesn't have to stay this way. And so that is part of the good news of following Jesus, is we can have hope. And I want to be a person who has hope because, you know, when I am in my mind, I'm thinking about things that are going on either in my own life, or things in family or friends' lives or things in the world. And when you begin to view it outside of a lens of hope, it becomes quite depressing, doesn't it? Has anyone had that experience? And when we view the world through hope, it creates a whole different thing. And so I want to explore that more this morning. But I just want to say at the beginning is that, you know, I'm just really believing that, you know, I can talk to you the best I possibly can about hope, can share with you stuff from scripture and do all that I can. But what all of us, every single one of us in this room really needs is the Holy Spirit to come and give us fresh revelation about hope and what it means in our own lives. And so I just want to pray over us. I know we've kind of been praying about hope already this morning, but just before I start, just want to pray that the Holy Spirit's going to come and speak to each one of us, no matter where we're at in our lives, what's going on, and give us a fresh revelation of hope. So does anyone want that? Yeah. So I just want to ask you to do something. You don't have to do it if you don't want to, but I quite like the idea of doing this. So do you want to just put your hands on your heart? We'll be a bit American. And I just want to pray for our hearts. And so, yeah, Lord Jesus, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would come and bring fresh revelation of hope to our hearts. That, Lord, where there is pain and disappointment and desperation with things that are going on in our lives, Lord, we just pray that you would just come this morning right into those situations and just bring fresh hope. Amen. Okay, so first of all, if you want to go with me, if you've got a Bible with you, to Romans, which is in the New Testament. And just go with me to chapter 4, verse 18. So that's Romans chapter 4, verse 18. So before I read you a passage, just want to give you a bit of background to what I'm about to read. So Abraham, For those of you who haven't heard of him before, he's a man that we read about in the Old Testament. So that's at the beginning of the Bible. He's right there at the beginning of the Bible. And he was married to Sarah, and Sarah was unable to have children. And at the age of 75, God spoke to Abraham, and he basically said to him, you and Sarah are going to have children. And not only are you going to have children, but through your family, I'm going to do great things through your family. And I'm going to bless other people outside of your family. And he says, your descendants will be as numerous as the grains of sand. And they will bless all the families on earth. So that's an amazing promise, isn't it? You know, Abraham and Sarah are probably desperate just to, you know, it's a horrible thing when you really want to have children and you can't have them. You know, I've seen people go through it and it's the most painful thing. And, you know, God comes to Abraham and he doesn't just answer his prayers and say, yes, you're going to have your own child at the grand old age of 75. Back then, people used to live longer as well. So you have to bear that in mind. But he goes a million steps further in that. He says, not only are you going to have a child, but I'm going to do awesome things through your family. Your descendants are going to be as numerous as the grains of sand, and the whole earth is going to be blessed through them. That's the kind of God that we know. The kind of God who, you know, you could say it's almost too good to be true. He doesn't just like to come and step into our situation and turn it around just for us, but he goes a million steps further to make it wild beyond our expectations of goodness towards us. And so here, you know, we see that God gives Abraham this promise. Now, it just struck me, something which I haven't seen before in this passage, as I was preparing for today, was that at the point when God gave Abraham that promise, already then probably all hope had gone. He probably had, you know, it was a pain into his heart. Maybe he just learned to accept the fact that he wasn't going to have children. And that was that. That was his lot in life. But I'm sure still deep down he had that desire for children. And so God comes into that desperate situation and gives him that word. But those of us who've read the story know that actually God didn't fulfill that word until 25 years later when he was 100 years old, around that time. All of us know that, you know, sometimes God comes and speaks something to us, and if it doesn't happen within the next day, we kind of give up on believing it. Has anyone ever found themselves in that situation? I have. But actually, you know, God is already speaking into a desperate situation that Abraham finds himself in. But that word sustains Abraham until its fulfillment 25 years later. And so what I want us to do is just to explore a bit is the kind of hope that Abraham had to have been walking in to sustain him through those 25 years from when God first spoke to when it actually came into being. So, as we enter this passage in Romans, this is talking about 25 years on, after Abraham has received this word, and he's still hoping that something good is going to happen. And so, chapter 4, verse 18, against all hope, but still in hope, Abraham believed that he would become the father of many nations, in line with what had been said to him. That's what your father will, what your family will be like. He didn't become weak in faith as he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and the lifelessness of Sarah's womb. He didn't waver in unbelief when faced with God's promise. Instead, he grew strong in faith and gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God had the power to accomplish what he had promised. That's good, isn't it? You know, those of us who've already read the story of Abraham will know that he did have a few wobbly moments where he wasn't quite sure if God was really going to do it and tried to work out his own plan to make it happen by having a son with one of his concubines, because back then in the day they used to have a few more than just one wife. So we all know that if you've read that, you know he did that. But that was just one little slip up in a whole journey. And so when he's remembered in Romans, he's remembered as a man who walked in faith. You know, his slip up is forgiven. But, and so as you read through the story, you see that God keeps on reminding Abraham of what he said to him, which helps him to continue in hope. So I just want to read that passage again to us, and let's just really take it into our hearts. So back to verse 18. Against all hope, but still in hope, Abraham believed that he would become the father of many nations, in line with what had been said to him. That's what your family will be like. He didn't become weak in faith as he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the lifelessness of Sarah's womb. He didn't waver in unbelief when faced with God's promise. Instead, he grew strong in faith and gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God had the power to accomplish what he had promised. And so, as we start the beginning of 2012, we have an invitation to be people who are going to walk under and in hope. You know, Abraham's situation was completely hopeless. You know, I love at the beginning of this passage when it says, against all hope, but still in hope. You know, his situation was totally desperate, you know, but yet God still came through and fulfilled his promise. And some of us may be finding ourselves in situations in our lives where we are completely desperate. It just feels like hope against hope. Nothing's ever going to change. Nothing good's going to happen. I just need to accept that this is my lot in life. But I just want to say to you today that that is not the end of the story. There is a fresh hope, no matter how desperate your situation is. There is good news. So I just want to read you, actually, I'm going to read a quote from this little devotional book, which I'm reading at the moment. And, you know, what is it about hope? What is hope? You might ask the question. And, you know, as when we bring Jesus into hope, ultimately we can say hope is about trusting in the goodness of God. Trusting that God is a good God who has good things prepared for each one of us and who will come through for us. If we have that sense of trust and belief in that, then no matter what our circumstances are going on around us, even though at times it may be painful and cost us everything to continue to walk in hope, but there's a rest that comes where we can just rest in the goodness of God, because we can hope in him, trusting him, that even though I don't understand why this is going on in my life at the moment, even though I feel like this is a situation is never going to end, I am trusting that God is a good God. He's my heavenly Father. He's looking after me. He's going to sustain me through on this journey, and he's going to come through for me. And that is kind of what we're invited to walk into. You know, when we stop hoping, we try to sort things out ourselves, and that usually ends up being not God's best for us, or it brings damage to our lives or to other people's lives. But if we will continue to walk in hope and trust God, even though that could cost us everything, it always ends up being for the best. Even though it doesn't always seem like it, but it's because we haven't reached the end of the story. So I just want to read you this quote from this devotional. Hope can be defined as the confident expectation that good is coming. Hope is an overall optimism about the future. It is rooted in a revelation of God's goodness and his promises. Hope expects and knows that things will ultimately work out in a good way. It views setbacks and failure as learning experiences, not as a statement about who we are. It knows that our future is ultimately not dependent on people or favorable circumstances, but it is based on believing God is a good God. And we even look to God to bring our believing to maturity. So yeah, I'll just stop there. So it's like we have a choice to walk in hope. You know, Bill Johnson, who we often quote from, he makes a statement that if there's any area of your life which there isn't hope in, it is actually you are believing a lie in that situation, because there's not any kind of situation in our lives where there isn't hope. Jesus, through what he's done on the cross for every single person on the earth, has taken care of every kind of situation or circumstance that can come into our lives. And so therefore there is hope for every situation. So if we're living with a sense of hopelessness, whilst that might be totally understandable when we think about circumstances we may be facing, it's not what God has into that situation. There is a fresh hope that can come into that situation as we look at it through the lens of hope and through that lens of believing that God is a good God who has good things for us. You know, Abraham's relationship with God sustained him through that time from when God first spoke that word to when it actually came for fulfillment. If he didn't fundamentally have a belief that God was a good God, was a loving father, and was going to remain true to his word to him, then he would have probably just got really, really depressed. I'm sure at times he still did. I'm not like trying to say that we should always have to be happy, happy. You know, we all have difficult times, but it's in those times we make that choice again to hope and to believe in the goodness of God. And that is what sustained Abraham through those 25 years. Who here is 25 or younger? Put your hands up. So just imagine Abraham had to wait for nearly your whole life to actually see the promise come true. It's a long time. There's so much I can say on hope, and obviously I can't say it all this morning, so I'm just going with different bits to pick out for you today. But are you getting this whole thing of hope? Is anyone getting a fresh revelation of hope? Great. I'm believing that that's what God's doing. Okay. Right. Let's, where is it gone? Okay. If you want to go with me in your Bibles to Psalms, kind of in the middle of the Bible, Psalms chapter 43, verse 5. Psalms are an amazing book. Okay. Because we find in Psalms, like often David, King David has written lots of those Psalms, and he's like being really real with God about where he's at. You know, David goes through lots of difficult circumstances in his life, and he just is honest with God about how rubbish it is. Why is this still going on? Why are you doing this? You've promised me that and it hasn't happened yet. All of that kind of stuff. David is honest with God, which is what we can all be honest when it's been rubbish. In Psalm 43, it's another time when David's expressing that to God. And then in verse 5, he speaks to himself and he says, "Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." You know, sometimes we need to tell ourselves to hope in God. You know, sometimes it's fine to express, you know, the difficulties and, oh, why is this happening this way? Why hasn't this happened? Why hasn't God come through for me yet? We can feel like that. And in the midst of that situation, we can choose to tell ourselves to hope in God. So it's not like this some magical thing that's just going to happen. Actually, sometimes we have to make a choice. Okay, although my situation is like this right now, I'm going to choose to trust in a God who is good, who will come through for me. And so I will tell myself to hope in God. And so I want to encourage you, no matter what your situation is today, to tell yourself to hope in God, because he's a good God and he's got good things for you. And, you know, I just really believe that as we enter into 2012, that God is going to do new things in our lives. You know, I can't remember that I shared it last time when we were together, but just before Christmas, when we were praying before the meeting, I really felt that God was saying to me really clearly that this year, people are going to walk into freedom in areas of their lives where maybe they feel that they're never going to find freedom in that area. They just had to grow to accept that this is part of their lives. Maybe it's like self-esteem issues. It could be addictions. It could be problems that we have in relationships. It could be any kind of thing, but I just really feel that this year God is going to break through and bring freedom. And so I want to say, if that resonates with you, things that are going on in your life, that there is fresh hope in 2012, that God is going to come through for you. There is. And I just want to encourage you to believe it. God is going to break through. You don't have to live with the same things anymore. You know, I believe that God's going to heal people from long-term things this year. You know, I am believing that I was sharing this with Dory when we were doing our hopes. Lots of you know that my sister had a car accident, like maybe about 5 years ago, and she broke her pelvis. And she's had a measure of healing, but she's not totally healed. And she had a baby in the summer, as many of you will know. And the whole pregnancy was like really painful. And she's still in a lot of pain now. And so I've been like, right, as we enter 2012, she's going to get healed. I'm not having this anymore, because I know that there is full healing available in Jesus. I don't know why it hasn't happened so far, but all I know is that I'm not going to give up, because I know that that's not God's best for her, that he wants complete healing for her. Even though he might think, well, surely if God was going to heal her, he would have healed her by now. No. I don't know why God hasn't already healed her, but God wants everyone to be walking in wholeness. We live in a battle. I don't understand why everything doesn't always happen straight away as you would think it would do, but that's the nature of the world we live in. All I know is that there is hope for her situation and there's hope for your situation. God will come through. Yay. Just going to do one more verse and then I just want to pray. You know, we're just touching the surface of the whole thing of hope this morning, because we can't possibly cover it all. Diana's going to be speaking about hope again in a few months' time. But I would encourage you to explore this whole thing of hope yourselves. You know, do a word study in your Bibles about hope, and you will get so much encouragement there. But this verse I just want to pull out from Proverbs 13, verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Hope deferred. So sometimes when we have hoped for something in our lives and it hasn't happened, or something terrible has happened in that, the pain of that can make our hearts really sick. And the hope into that situation is that despite that having happened and the pain it's caused us, that the hope that Jesus brings into it is that he can bring healing into our hearts, he can remove the pain, and he can bring a fresh restoration. You know, the more I hear stories about the things that God has done in people's lives, you know, I would encourage you, that's why we love to tell stories at Journey, but just feed yourself with the stories of all the good things that God has done, because it brings such encouragement and hope into our lives. You know, it's amazing when you see how people have come from terrible situations and how God turns their lives around and puts them into a totally different place. They could never have possibly imagined that that would have been how their life turned out. God is a God of restoration. And yes, terrible things happen to us at times, and our hope has been deferred in those situations, and it makes our hearts sick. But God is a God who comes and brings healing and brings restoration. And sometimes, I'm not saying it always happens just in this moment, sometimes there's a journey that we need to walk through of healing. And for some of us, maybe that's what's going to be happening for us this year, is God is wanting to bring healing in our hearts over real deep pain. You know, maybe for some of us, the pain is, God, why did you let this happen? And we actually feel angry with God. And there's like this barrier between us and there. You know, you can be real about that as well. If you're going through that, there's, you know, you can dialogue that through with God and others as well. Because sometimes we don't understand why certain things happen in our lives. But so basically, I want us to pray and see what God wants to do for a few minutes. But just bringing a very simple message to stir our hearts that in 2012, a key word for us is hope. And we as a community here, let's be a people filled with hope, no matter what circumstances we find in our lives this year, because our village, our university, people that we work with, our neighbours, they need that hope. You know, if we look at our country through just bleak eyes, you could say that there's not a lot of hope at the moment. You know, that people are going through difficult circumstances financially, losing their jobs, benefits and things getting cut. Everything is increasing. There's probably a lot of people who are fearing about what is going to happen this year, fearing about whether or not they'll still have a job. Are they going to keep their houses? You know, maybe some people in this room are feeling like that. And into that desperate situation that our country is in at the moment, we have hope. And so we need to be a people who are walking in hope, who are anchored in hope, so that we can bring that message of hope to the people around us who need it so much. You know, we can't have hope in our finances anymore. We can't even have hope in our jobs necessarily or in our houses, but we can have a hope in Jesus who will always come through for us, no matter what. And so I want to encourage myself, I encourage you, to choose this year that you are going to walk in hope. That, you know, that we're going to also, you know, for some of us, we need to make that choice that we're going to allow God in to bring healing into those places of disappointment and pain. And that, for some of us, is going to be a real courageous thing to do. But God is wanting to come and break through with hope and bring hope to our village and wherever else we find ourselves. So Abraham, you know, whenever I get hopeless about things, I always think about Abraham, because I always think in the most desperate kind of situation, God came through for him. And so, you know, you can't get much worse than his kind of situation in a way. You know, it's totally against the odds that he can have one child, let alone have many descendants through him. And yet God came through for him. At the end, he came through for him. But, you know, for some of us, we're going to be waiting a while for things that we hope for in our lives, and God's going to sustain us through it. For some of us, this year, some of those hopes and dreams are going to come true. But no matter what the time frame is, if we're anchored in hope, then that will sustain us through it. If we're anchored in that belief that God is a good God, he's our Heavenly Father, he's always with us. You know, that's the most amazing promise that God gave us after the cross, is that Jesus will never leave us. If we just got more revelation of that itself, that would turn our lives around. But hope is the word for us this year. So let's just pray and see what God wants to do. One thing that I just feel would be good for us to do is... if people are looking for fresh hope in their finances, maybe your job is insecure, or there's some debt in your life, or there's stuff that you don't know how you're going to pay those bills. It could be all those different kinds of things. I just really feel that God is wanting to come and bring fresh hope into those situations. He wants to come and bring breakthrough into those situations. So this is a safe place. I just want to ask you, if you feel that resonates with you in any kind of way, can you just stand up? And no one's going to be judging. Ooh, why is that person standing? So if you feel like you need fresh hope into your finances in any kind of situation, do you want to just stand? And let's just pray that God would do something supernatural. You know, God breaks in beyond what is going on in our world with supernatural things. You know, I believe that God's going to release jobs to people, better jobs, promotions, and cancel debt. So if you're near somebody who's standing up for money, and if there's anyone else who hasn't stood up who needs to stand up, you still can do. Do you want to just go and pray with one of those people nearby? So if you're not standing up, can you go and find someone to pray for if you would like to? If you don't want to, that's fine. But we just want to pray fresh hope into people's finances, new jobs, freedom from debt. Yeah, thank you, God, that you are the God of too good to be true. And I just want to pray too good to be true into every single financial situation that's represented here today. That, Lord, you would break through, you would provide jobs, you would give freedom from debt, that you would release homes to people. You know every need, and you want to do way more than that, Lord. So we just want to release that over each person that's standing this morning. You know, a few years ago, I was like in a really terrible financial situation. I had a lot of debt and really bad debt. And it was a total constant stress in my life every day. And God came through in a supernatural way. I got given a very large amount of money, which cleared all of that debt. And it could have never happened in a human way. How could that possibly have happened? But God came through. And, you know, I just want to speak that over you. If you find yourself in that situation, God is a gracious God. You may feel that it's your fault that you're in debt. Maybe you don't feel that. But if God isn't like going to help you according to whether or not you think it's your fault, he wants to help you because he's a gracious God and he wants people to be free. And so I just really believe that God is going to be doing that in people's lives this year. So I just want to encourage you in that. Just a couple more things just that I feel to do. If anyone is in any kind of situation at all where you feel a real sense of hopelessness, maybe you're feeling depressed, maybe it's really in your mind you can't sleep at night because of the anxiety of certain situations going on, maybe there's all these thoughts running through your head and it's really kind of getting you down, I just want to ask you if you would like to, maybe if everyone else could sit down again, so we could just to stand, and we want to pray for those people. So if there's any kind of hopelessness in any area of your life, you don't need to share it with people praying for you. It can be a private thing. If you're feeling there's a depression that's come, there's anxiety, just feel that God is wanting to come through. Maybe it's due to anything, could be due to ill health, and it's just... maybe I just feel for some people, there's just their mind is so full of stuff and it's just racing through and they have no peace. Any kind of situation at all, I just want to ask you if you want to stand, and we'd love to pray for you because God is wanting to bring fresh breakthrough in those situations. So those of us who don't feel that's for us, if we just want to gather around these people who are standing, and let's just pray and believe in faith that as you pray, God is going to set these people free in these areas of their lives. Fantastic. I just encourage you to this week meditate on scriptures in the Bible, meditate on promises and prophetic words that God has given to you, so that's part of choosing to walk in hope and reminding ourselves of the things that God has said to us. So I just want to declare the blessing of hope over everybody here. And just believing that this year will be a year of hope for us all.